He could not have felt more exposed had he been standing naked in the middle of the corso. At least then he would have had the option to escape. Now he was trapped and on display, for the first time appreciating the animal's inability to hide. Children had begun to chatter excitedly and point at his school uniform, drawing the attention of the adults. Faces were filling all the available space between the bars, but the real horror was a pair of cameras positioned at either end of the visitors. Capital News, with their omnipresent coverage and their saucy slogan, "If you didn't see it here, it didn't happen." Oh, it was happening. To him. Now. He could feel his image going live all over the Capitol. Fortunately, shock rooted him to the spot, because the only thing worse than him standing among the district riffraff in the zoo would be him running around like a fool trying to escape. There was no easy way out. It was built for wild animals. Attempting to hide would be even more pathetic. Imagine how delicious that footage would be for Capital News. They would play it ad nauseum. Add silly music and captions. Snow's meltdown. Make it part of the weather report. Too hot for snow. They would rerun it as long as he lived. His disgrace would be complete. What option did that leave him? Only to stand his ground, looking the cameras dead in the eye until he was rescued. He straightened up to his full height, subtly shifted back his shoulders, and attempted to look bored. The audience began to call out to him. First the high-pitched children's voices, then the adults joining in, asking what he was doing. Why was he in the cage? Did he need help? Someone recognized him, and his name spread like wildfire through the crowd, which was becoming deeper by the minute. "It's the Snow Boy. Who's that again? You know, the ones with the roses on their roof." Who were all these people hanging around on a weekday at the zoo? Didn't they have jobs? Shouldn't the children be in school? No wonder the country was such a mess. The district tributes began to circle, taunting him. There was the pair from District 11 and the vicious little boy who had called for his death, and several new ones, too. He remembered the hatred in the truck and wondered what would happen if they attacked him as a pack. Perhaps the audience would only cheer them on. Coriolanus tried not to panic, but he could feel sweat running down his sides. All the faces of the nearby tributes, of the crowd at the bars, began to blur. Their features became indistinct, leaving only dark and light patches of skin, broken by the pinkish red of their open mouths. His limbs felt numb. His lungs starved for air. He was beginning to consider making a break for the chute and attempting to climb it when a voice behind him softly said, "Own it." Without turning, he knew it was the girl. His girl. And he felt immense relief that he was not entirely alone. He thought of how cleverly she had played the audience after the mayor's assault, how she had won them all with her song. She was right, of course. He had to make this moment look intentional, or it was all over. He took a deep breath and turned to where she sat, casually fixing the white rose behind her ear. She always seemed to be improving her appearance, arranging her ruffles in District 12, grooming her hair at the train station, and now adorning herself with the rose. He extended his hand to her as if she was the grandest lady in the Capitol.